Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
It is just a great joy to be back here among you. Always blessed by the message. And I do get that thing that Andy said before about the heart to see people come to Christ, to come to faith in Christ. That's what it's really all about, isn't it? I'm not really interested in shining light towards light, being light towards light, if you can hear what I'm saying. I'm not interested in how light looks to light. I'm interested in being light to darkness, because that's where we need to be. Now, whether it comes through the local church, whether it comes through organizations, whether it comes through groups that are affiliated to things that God is doing, our ultimate aim in these last days is to see a harvest for Jesus Christ. I'm not a big revivalist, let me just say that right now. You won't catch me doing big revival meetings, because I actually don't think there's an awful lot in Britain that's worth reviving. That may sound controversial, but my heart and my passion is all about a new thing, a new harvest, for people to come to Christ who never, ever knew about Jesus only to blaspheme him. That's my heart. And that, even as a church leader, that's my heart. And that's my dream, is to see the unreachable, untouchables come into faith in Jesus Christ. Now, whether we see that in India, whether we see that in Romania, whether we see that in ex-communist countries or wherever that may be, the more I travel, the more I realise that God is preparing a huge harvest. It could be on your doorstep. It could be 5,000 miles away. That doesn't matter. What matters is the foundation that we come from, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to read a few verses to you. So are you okay with this? Now, you might hear different things, and I don't want you to... This could be easy to misunderstand some things I say, so I'm going to go slow. I'm going to go steady, hopefully. I'm going to go to the reading in Mark 5, which Andy was talking about, made me laugh before, about animals who come to Christ and all these people who come to the Lord, and the Lord does an amazing work in their lives. And I couldn't help but laugh when he prayed that and he said that, because this is what this reading is about in Mark chapter 5. Do you remember the miracle of Legion, where Jesus gets out of the boat at Gadara, and there comes this man to him, this guy possessed with devils, and he comes towards Jesus and he's saying all of this and he's making a big scene, and Jesus just speaks in authority to him. And I'm not going to read it all out because of time, but you know the story that Jesus says to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And he asks what his name. He says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. And a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. And all the demons begged him. Isn't that great? I love that when I read that. All the demons begging. Isn't that fantastic? Begging. Jesus begging, because that's what they are. They beg. And Jesus says, "Okay, then, go into all the pigs." And he cast them out, and he ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. And then verse 15 says, "Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who's been demon-possessed and had the legion, listen, sitting and clothed in his right mind." How awesome a picture that is of the power of Jesus Christ to deliver someone. It's just amazing, isn't it? And you know, that's happening today. You will have seen it. Andy, you will have seen it. I've seen it in the Lighthouse. I've seen it in our church in Romania, in New Generation Church. I've seen it in India many times. I was in India in February, and a woman came into our services. We were having a prayer night. And I'm not kidding you, the last few prayer nights we've done in India, this is amongst believers, right? We've had Muslims come in, confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, giving their lives without any attempt to get people in. We had a woman came in and kicked off like anybody's business. And you'll have seen a lot of that, Gary, as well, I know. But we see that, and she didn't even give her life to the Lord. And as we pray, we never touched, as we just prayed and didn't suffer the enemy to make a scene and continued to pray for all those who'd given their life to Christ. Later on, she got up, went out and came back the next night and came to me when the appeal was made. And she says, Pastor Paul, I don't know what happened last night. I have no idea. But tonight I've come back to give my life to Jesus Christ. She was in her right mind. She was complete. She's not the same. And I'm saying to the pastor, is this the same woman? Is this the same woman? Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. This is the same. Amazing what God is doing today with these kind of people by his power. And that's not what I'm going to speak about. But this is the bit I'm going to speak about. When Jesus got into the boat, this is verse 18. He who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Wow. You would, wouldn't you? You'd want to be with the guy who just, you know, delivered you from all of that stuff. And Jesus said, it says he did not allow him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them the great things that the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and he began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done. And listen, here's the testimony. Everyone was amazed. And I want to just talk about, I was brought up with messages that were really the call to go. The call to go and be a servant. The call to go and be a witness. The call to go and serve God. But this afternoon, I'm sharing with you the call to stay. You see, God doesn't think like we think. Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. He says, as high as the heavens are from the earth, that's the difference. You know, I looked at that and I thought, wow. Sometimes God thinks in a completely opposite way than I do. How I need, therefore, to really get his wisdom and get his word on what are the next steps in my life. Yeah? And Jesus actually called Legion not to go, but to stay. Now, don't hear me wrong. Some of you will hear a call to stay, and some of you still got the call to go, and that's brilliant. And I'm going to confuse you completely for a moment. In the staying, there's the authority to go. I'll share what I mean in a moment. See, this afternoon is a few reflections on 32 years of pastoral ministry in the same church, in Manchester, the same city, because God, at some point in my life, convinced me there was such a thing called a call to stay. The call to stay is a call to build. I don't mean staying in a geographical place necessarily. I mean staying in God's hand in a particular way, shape or form in your life and not moving out from there, but sticking with what God is doing in your life. You see, I actually think today there's so many people who actually move too quickly from the place of blessing. I spoke to a guy a few months away, it's about a year ago now, and he was ready, he got itchy feet, he wanted to go back to this particular country, and I said to him, I really think you've got to just stick around for a while. It's on my spirit. I knew the guy really well. He'd worked in one of our ministries in another country. You know what? He said, you know, Pastor, because you said it, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to rely on that word. You know, a few months later, that guy is married to the most beautiful girl in our church. He nearly missed his bride. I don't know whether you agree with me, but you can miss blessing. You can miss blessing. If your foundation isn't strong and sure and secure, you can miss it just by popping here and popping there. And I'll be honest with you now, the one thing that we don't need, I think you'll all agree with me, is spiritual tourists. Honestly, and as a lead pastor, I preach it. I've got guys here from the Lighthouse, Jesse, Bayanda, Aaron, Colette. You hear this. I preach about getting rooted in God. Getting your roots down, because fruit can't come up unless fruit goes down, unless root goes down. That's the secret. of bearing fruit and becoming fruitful. And I don't think that Jesus sent Legion home because he wouldn't have done a good job going out with Jesus on Sky TV and on social media and all of the platforms that they had in those days, which weren't that many, thank God. You know, I don't think that. I just think that Jesus knew that Legion needed a foundation for the next phase of his life. What was that? What did it look like? Well, Decapolis is a pretty big missions area, for a start. 10 cities that needed to be reached. Legion was the man. Didn't know it at that time, but the Lord said, no, go home, stay. The call to stay. Wow, it's amazing. Do you know that there were a couple of people who Jesus healed? There was a couple of people who were blind, and Jesus healed them, and he actually said to them, don't go and tell anyone. There was a leper he cleansed, and he said to the leper, he says, make sure no one knows about it. Wow. And I'm starting to think to myself, wow, why would he ever do that? Do you remember the ruler of the synagogue whose daughter was sick and she died, and Jesus went to her in Luke 8 and raised her from the dead, and he says, don't tell. How can you not tell anyone if somebody's been raised from the dead? I mean, come on, that's going to just go viral. But he says, don't tell anyone. And I'm thinking, why is this? Because sometimes, God wants to do stuff that's right under the radar. Do you get that? That it's under the radar. He wants to do things like that. Now, I'm going to backtrack a long, long way into the mid-90s. Wow. That's a long time ago for some of you, isn't it? And I was a pastor in Manchester, and we started off, we came here, we had 16 adults. For the first 3 months, we had 19 people, including the kids, including the mice and the wildlife in the old hall that was there. And it was a tough, tough time. It really was. But we were there, and we just believed, and God gave us such a heart and a vision for the lost and to see strong church built. And it happened. Within the space of 5 years, from 86 to 91, we saw in 1 year, we grew 120% in terms of new numbers and finance. And this is the north of England, right, in Manchester. I just thought this was happening everywhere. At the time, I didn't know. I didn't even know it was unusual. Looking back, stunned. We opened our own brand new premises worth nearly £500,000 in Chorlton, Cumhardia. If anybody lives in Chorlton, you've got to have a few bob to live there. All right? And we moved into our own place in Chorlton with a pretty strong congregation in the early 90s, 91. It was just amazing. And I had been invited to preach in this church in the Midlands. And I went to the Midlands. I was dead naive, mate, I'll tell you. I went to preach at this church. And it was great, and it's part of our denomination. I won't tell you which one that is. You can guess. You know. So I went down, I preached. And I came back, and within the week, I got a phone call from one of our main leaders. And he said to me, Paul, you preached at such and such a place in the Midlands, big church. They want you to go as the pastor. I thought, what? Yeah, they want you to go. And at the time, I was beginning to get quite a bit of difficulty in the ministry. And I thought, this is it. God's going to take me to a new place. It's exciting. A new adventure's going to begin. And the guy actually said, I'm going to ring you tomorrow. Or something like that. Could have been tomorrow. Could have been a couple of days. And I'd like an answer if you're interested. Spoke to Mags and everything. And I was a bit excited. But I felt the no of the Holy Spirit. And I felt the Lord say, you're called to stay. And when he rang, he said, right, Paul, are you up for the job? I said, no, I'm not interested. What? I said, I'm not interested. I know that there is unfinished business. I know that there's more to do. I know that God wants to do a lot more in this city. And I felt the peace of God. As soon as I said it, I felt the Lord's pleasure and his blessing come upon me. And I stayed, and I probably clipped my ticket forever in our denomination by doing that. But do you know what? Looking back, I'm absolutely blessed that God said that and put that into my spirit, because from that, we've seen the call to build, and the call to stay has become the call to build through the foundation that has been laid. There are people here today, you know, I'm not comfortable speaking about all the stuff that we've done as the Lighthouse overseas, but when I say we've built 85 church buildings in India, I'm not talking about planting church. We've planted far more churches than that, but those are actual buildings we've built and released the money over a period of 15 years, probably £500,000 worth of building into that nation. Because as you know, Andy, Indians are very temple-minded. When they come to faith through from Hinduism, they want to know where they're going to meet. They want to have a building, so they have a landmark, and it becomes very much like that. And we have seen, Mags and I have travelled to buildings that we've built that we've actually had to extend them three times. With the first church building, when it kicked this off, there were 25 people. When I preached in the evening, there were 70 people arrived at the service. All the Christians had to get out of the house to let the non-Christians get in the house. And at the end of there was more people there who came to Christ that night. There was three times as many people in the church who came to Christ that night. That absolutely started the whole process. That church now, there's between conservative estimates, between 1,200 and 1,500 people in that one church. In that one church. We've had to keep just, everybody's going to get on the phone to me, Pastor Paul, can we have another back church, please? Now we're putting back churches into a place called Bellary in Karnataka State in India. We're having to go under the radar. And a lot of things have really prepped me for this, and I'm really blessed about it. Can I put the slide on there? I want to illustrate to you how important this is. If you can put the next slide on, please. I did something in my garden 2 years ago. I wanted a nice place where I wasn't always in the office, going down the office. And Mag said to me, rather than us move from Chorlton, because we've lived there 30 years, in Chorlton, rather than me, why don't you just build a man cave in the garden? I thought, what a great idea to come from the wife. You know, I said, God gave me a good marriage, didn't he? You know, and a good wife there, eh? What about that? Or was it because she wanted me out of the house? I don't know anyway. But I thought to myself, right, I'll build it on where that old shed used to be. And I started doing the foundation. There's the foundation. There's more on it. There's more foundation on me than there is down there, but that's the foundation finished for my cabin. Doesn't it look gorgeous? That foundation. Don't you think that it's a gorgeous foundation? I don't. Stunning. There you go. Stunning. Nobody's bothered what the foundation looks like, are they? Because largely speaking, the foundation in our lives is invisible. But what we put on it isn't. It's really visible. Next slide, please. I like to do things properly. Do you know what I'm saying? When I do a job, it's worth doing, I do it. Anyway, that's the result. But I want to say, right, what I want to say about that is, as good as that may be, it's no good if it doesn't have the foundation that can handle it. Yeah? Because the foundation determines what is going to go on it and what it may or may not look like. So our foundation in Christ this afternoon, the depth, the width, the height of your foundation will determine everything in the future. Amen? Yeah? And I don't think we can skip that. No matter what happens in our life, you can't short-circuit that. It's hard work laying the foundation. I can tell you it was a lot harder putting the foundation in than putting that in. Tougher. Really tough. And I discovered years after this episode, when I got offered this position in this church, that I discovered years later that a call to stay was actually a call to build. Because I was laying foundations down for things that were going to happen years and years later. Do you get it? And you're going to do that right now. You are doing that right now. What you're doing, you remember when Jesus said to Peter, didn't he? He says, what I do now, you don't understand. but you will understand afterwards. And I think there's a lot of that happening in people's lives right now. Now, where are you right now? Where are you right now in your own life? I tell you, there's some things you might not just be able to understand right now, but I want to say to you, stick with it. Stick with laying those foundations down in your life, because you are going to be so blessed in the future because of that. Even stick at it when it's tough. Don't go when it gets tough. Stick with it, because rewards come when you stick it with a work of faith in your life, yeah? I went on to realize that the call to stay was not boring. I used to think that if I just stick around here, it's going to be boring. It's not going to be much of an adventure. It's not going to be very exciting. I can tell you, it has been a great adventure. It is a great adventure. Pastoring in the city of Manchester, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than pastoring there. And you know what? The call to stay takes me anywhere God wants to send me in a moment. So the call to stay, in actual fact, is not a call to be static. It's not a call to not doing anything or being anything in the kingdom. It's a call for release. It's a call that's not contained by finance, resources, or other people and their decisions and the committees that run the committees. Yeah? There's release. Real release in that. It's amazing. And one of the things I've always harped on about in church life is I realize now that the call to stay gives you the freedom to create and recreate and invent and reinvent. And you've seen that, Andy, over the years. And I just love the fact, I was saying in our staff devotions this morning, Mark chapter 2 is one of the most powerful passages of scripture for me. You know, Mark chapter 2 is Jesus in Capernaum. And there's a paralyzed man. Nobody can get in the house. Everybody's in there. And if you read it, the religious people are there, because they're always there, aren't they? The religious people are in the house. But there's four people who have such a love for their friend that they devise a way to get their friend into the presence of Jesus. They come up with something. And you know what I wrote on my Bible? I wrote on my Bible, four nobodies that did something for somebody that anybody could have done but never did. Nobodies. Four nobodies. Because we don't know who they are. We don't know what the names were. We don't know what happened to them afterwards. But four people invested so much in that moment to get their friend to Jesus. And that is isn't that a great snapshot of what we should be like as the Church of Jesus Christ? We'll do anything. We'll take the roof off. And the other beautiful thing I love about that is that this guy came to Jesus, lowered down the roof by his four friends, and he came in paralyzed and he went out whole. And I'm a great believer that people who come to Jesus Christ, genuinely have an encounter with God, are never, ever the same again. Believe it. I believe it. Seen that happen so many times. And so, believing in that, I'm thinking, do you know what, Paul? I don't even have to, because I had leaders who said to me, I had top leaders, national leaders, who said to me, Paul, you need to go to a bigger church. You need to move on. Get a bigger church. Get a greater challenge. Do something bigger and better. And I heard that and heard that and heard that, but that wasn't the voice of God to me. To me, it was stay and build. Wow. Today I'm spending so much time now, just spending time with young pastors and young church leaders who have also heard the call to stay and build something in the kingdom that will last. I was at a meeting the other week, and my favorite word in church growth life is organic growth. It is my favorite. I'll tell you why. I'm sure I said it before they even heard it anywhere. Organic growth. Why? Because organic growth comes from the bottom up and not the top down. You know what I'm saying? That's the most powerful growth. When I looked across our congregation, which was packed in our 11 o'clock service yesterday, right, Jesse? Right, we had on our platform, we had people who have been almost born in the seats in the church. People who have got your DNA, who have got the DNA of the heart of the kingdom of God. That's what I love about the message. You have a DNA. That's what this is about. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. There is a DNA here. And it's your DNA. The minute I walk into here, I know it's message DNA. I know that. And I know it's Andy and Michelle's DNA. It's a DNA that's do anything that we can to get the people in to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Whether it's in prisons, whether it's in schools, whether it's wherever it may be. Praise God. So that's some of the stuff I'm saying. The other, you know, one of the things I always used to say, it's quite a sentimental thought. Now I'm 57. I've got more in my rear mirror than I have through my front windscreen. But I do think to myself sometimes, you know, Lord, I want to plant trees that others can lie under the shade of. I'm guessing there's quite a few people had that thought too. I'd love to do that, Lord, from now on in. And I was sat at home having a restful couple of hours, which I occasionally do. And I made a hammock for myself this year. No, it didn't collapse. And I put the hammock up, which I bought in Romania, actually. And I stretched it out to one tree, and I stretched it out to another, and thought, is this going to hold my weight? What, you know? So I got Mags to try it first. No, I didn't. And I lay in this hammock, and I thought I'll have a little swing. And just having a little meditating to pray. And then all of a sudden I realized, as if the Lord just touched me and just said, hey, see that tree that you've tied that rope to? That big ash tree there. You planted that. I thought, wow, I planted this tree. It's huge now. Then I looked across and I thought, holy moly. The other tree that it's attached to is the conifer that I rescued from a lighthouse Christmas after it was the Christmas tree. I didn't want to see it die, so I brought it home and it was dying and I planted it and now it's like, and my hammock. And I'm under the shade on a red hot evening in my hammock on two trees, one I rescued and one I planted. And as if the Lord said, listen, mate, you're not only planting trees that others will have shade of, you're having some of that shade yourself. And the reason why I'm saying something as simple as that, those trees didn't grow overnight. They took years to grow. They were planted and took ages to grow. And I want to say this. The Lord could come back next week. The Lord could come back next year. The Lord could come back for Christmas time. Who knows? But our eyes should not be on that in such a way as we panic. Our eyes should be on it in the way that it drives us to harvest. So our eyes should be on the harvest. Like Jesus said, to pray that the Lord of the harvest separates workers and laborers in the harvest. And that's why I love really coming here and seeing what the message is doing and keeping up to date. I read a book recently. I'm reading a book every month, so somebody's given me another book today. I had one today, Tim Tucker's book, Grab a Towel. Brilliant. I got that in my office today. Really looking forward to that. I loved his book on Timothy and Paul. It's brilliant, absolutely. But I love reading a book a month, and I just finished a book, and I recommend it. I really recommend it. Bob Goff? Yeah, great writer, great character. Loved us. And in it, there's a chapter. Oh, what a challenging chapter this is. It's called Lose the Cape. Do you remember that? Anybody remember? Lose the Cape. And it says we don't have to all run around being spiritual heroes every 5 minutes. Lose the cape. Sometimes it would be good to just do things that nobody even knows you're doing it. Nobody even knows what you're doing in there. You're doing that deed in there. And I've come to realise that some of the work now that I'm doing, I'm the chaplain at Salford Reds now. Salford Red Devils it is, but I don't call it full name. You know, it was really embarrassing when I was at one of the games when we were playing the Saints. And the Devils beat the Saints. Man alive, that was embarrassing. That was an embarrassing win. Try and explain that one. But one of the things I realise now is that under the radar, God still uses us. Even if people don't know the conversations we're having, we can influence in ways that people would never really understand. I have had just recently some of the most amazing conversations where I've come back and I thought, I can't believe that I was asked that. I can't believe that somebody would ask my opinion over that as if it was of any value. But it happens. Why? Because Christ is in us. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. The only thing we have, we're sharing, is not ourselves. It's the message of Jesus Christ. Christ, the hope of glory in our lives. I'm going to close in a moment. I'm going to pray with some people. But I remember hearing Brian Houston. We all know Brian Houston. Brian Houston is somebody who I really look to a lot because he's a pastor. Pastors several churches in different countries. And in a very, very small way, that's the same with myself, in a very, very tiny way, but not insignificant. And I remember Brian Houston when I first met him, and he came to one of the conferences that we had. And people hardly knew him. They knew his father, Frank, but they didn't know Brian. And Brian said, how would you guys feel if everybody who came to your church came to hear your worship pastor? They hadn't got a clue who you were, but they came to hear the worship leader, who was a lady called Darlene Shack. Do you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying with that? And I never, ever forgot that. And I think of what Brian's doing now, and I think to myself, Lord, help me. And help every one of us as leaders to always have that grace. I turned up in our, we have a fantastic building in Manchester, the Lighthouse now. I thank God for it. We have an amazing building. It's brilliant. Our conferencing is going through the roof. There are business conferences almost every week now. It's incredible what's happening. But we also have amazing Christian conferences on as well, don't we, Michelle? Press Red coming in and all the rest. Yeah. You know, it's brilliant that we can do that. And Vine Life just had their amazing conference, Jesus Culture. A group from America came a few months ago. I can't remember who they were called. But I turn up sometimes at the building and people say, excuse me, can't park here. So, what do you mean? Well, where are you going? I said, I'm just going to park up. No, you can't park there. Oh, I said, right. I said, why, what do you want? I says, well, I'm trying to get to my office. Your office? I say, yeah, yeah. Why, do you work here? I say, kind of. Then he said, well, who are you? I said, I'm one of the staff. Oh, right. He's one of the staff. And then somebody there said, that's not the staff, that's one of the pastors. And he goes, oh, Ted, sorry, mate, Ted, sorry. But you go in, are we go in our own building? People don't know who you are. The grace of God has to be great on you all the time when you can't get into your own office. You can't even park on your own church. You know? Amazing. But I just thank God for what he can do when it's all about him. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about the hope of glory that he's placed in our lives. And I just absolutely love that. So a lot of what I've said today is reflecting, but it's also dead important that we learn foundational things in our lives as to where we are. Because we're all aiming for a future that's blessed, a future with harvest, a future where people are finding Christ. And that future needs foundations, yeah? And so I just leave kind of some of that stuff with you. In a couple of weeks, I'm going on mission to Romania in our church at New Generation Church in the south of Romania. Don't work anywhere else in Romania, just in the south, because it's so neglected. We want to plant churches. We want to train young pastors. We want to plant loads of churches. I've got a team going in a couple of weeks. I've got another team from a mate's church going after that, and another team going after that to really hit the area hard with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then our own missions team from Romania, we've got a first this year. They're only little first, but I celebrate them because they're big wins. In our missions team, we have an Eritrean church, which is so passionate. They're beautiful people. And for a first time, we have some of our Eritrean young people who are going on mission with us to Romania. And they talk about cross-cultural, that is. And I mean, it's going to give the Romanians something to think about for sure. So it's just absolutely brilliant. So I'm just loving all of that. So then what happens is he gets called, go to Decapolis, a region of 10 cities. That is so missional. So staying isn't boring. Staying isn't unadventurous. Staying can be exciting, gripping stuff if we hang in there and build in Jesus Christ into our lives. That means that we get foundation, we get security, we get strength from all of that stuff. I've often said, if you want overnight growth, plant mushrooms. If you want to plant things that stick around, plant oaks. They'll be there after us. That's really important. And I don't know, I just want to see God do something way after my lifetime. And I'm loving what God does. So bless you guys at the message. I hope it's encouraged you to lay hold of God in your life. And even this afternoon, if you say to yourself, do you know what? I just need a bit of depth of earth in my life, a bit of depth of soil in my life. Sometimes that's just none other than just a choice to say, Lord, I'm prepared to lay my foundations deeper so that I might go further, higher, stronger for you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.